and a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you in our On the House Hour talking sustainability. Alex Paycheck has some building poetry to share with us here.
Yes, I do. Thank you. It is a great definition of sustainability that I've found researching for many years. It says, meet the needs of today without compromising the ability for future generations to meet their needs. And I think that really sums it up very, very nicely, what sustainability and that thinking behind it is about, should be about.
And that's where it has to start, as a mindset and a discipline in ourselves.
Absolutely, yes, it does.
Now, residential generally, not generally, but it follows commercial-type buildings. And as it relates to adapting new building principles, new philosophies, new building science. And there's a lot of things that are available on the market that are being used that aren't being used in residential. And there's a couple reasons. Money.
Money being one of them, yes. A second reason being that the residential industry and the small residential builder or remodeler has a very low leeway for mistakes. So every mistake costs money, and when they adapt something new and it doesn't work, they have to move on to stay profitable, right? So there's an inherent, so to say, timeline or schedule that they have to follow to be able to stay profitable.
An individual home, generally speaking, has one owner, one family that occupied it, the one financer. A commercial building can have multiple investors, multiple sources of revenue to use, and commercial buildings are designed to generate revenue. Tenant leasing, office building, retail space, you know, these all, the point of it is to generate money. So the amount of money coming into commercial doesn't equal the amount of money coming into residential to give us those types of resources. Second, so there's the two aspects of money, two aspects of knowledge.
Right. The aspects of knowledge being there's a lot of development happening, and it's happening really fast in building science, right? New findings are coming up every day, and usually the commercial companies team up with building science teams that basically allow them to just go ahead and, you know, review a long-term effect of something that the small builder cannot put into place right away and review it and see if it works out. So they have a lot more time to develop certain techniques, and there's also a lot more money involved. But like you said, there is a mindset thing behind that, and that is what green building and sustainable building calls a life cycle assessment or life cycle analysis. So every investor in a green building, a commercial investor, is going to be looking at it from the perspective of the life cycle in terms of how can he or she raise the tenant's welfare in those buildings, or how can he raise profit or a lower energy cost and energy demand of these buildings. And this life cycle analysis really stops short of homeowners, because oftentimes we have to think about what is my upfront cost, because that is my biggest part. So I promote and hope that homeowners will also slowly adapt to the fact that there is a life cycle cost of any building, be it it needs to be remodeled, the roof needs to be replaced. What is the inherent cost of that, and how can I factor this in my buying decision?
So the two knowledge, buying decision, consumer demand.
Right.
And then you've also got the trade skill. A lot of times the trade skill does not pace at the same speed as building science does.
That is correct. Yes, the especially that is closely tied to the fact that much more demand for newer technologies is made in the commercial sector, and one can benefit from that in the residential sector as well. But there is a lot of tradition being handed down from basically from the dad to the son, or from one person to the next, and that oftentimes does not include cutting-edge technologies that are available out there, and oftentimes they cannot be even scaled down to a person, to the individual person. And that is still something that one can look into and broaden the horizons as a builder to look into different other capabilities of the commercial market and what can be used for the residential market, right?
So step number one in going sustainable is, where on earth are we building?
Correct.
When I sit there and I'm thinking through my perfect home, and I think, gosh, this is it. This was the last thing I'm missing. Well, and my mindset is the deserts of Arizona, not the perfect application for an Eskimo.
That is correct, yes. Well, yeah, the location, and specifically the location of a newly built home or even an existing home on a lot, basically is a big driving force of, well, how much solar intake do I have through my windows or through my walls or through my roof, right? So the way that I orient my house in according to the sun's path that I look at throughout the year will basically give me advantages or disadvantages as to how my building is going to perform in its cooling and heating needs. And the cooling needs are obviously something that we have in Maricopa County.
Lot dimensions, orientations, where the access into the property comes. All these things are step one, is where on earth are we building? And then looking at that lot and getting our orientation for the home is step two. More with Alex Paycheck of Rosie Remodeling, talking the discipline of sustainable building.